Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut, an artist, an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they went looking for a haunted ranch, expecting to scare each other. Instead, something else seemed determined to scare them first.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, hello there. If you have a real ghost story, you know we love to hear them. Call it in, 855-853-4802. You can also write it down. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Hit subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also now listen and watch us on YouTube. And there is no Tony here with us today. He obviously has something better to do. But Todd and Lisa here with me today. Anything just to get out of work, that guy.
I mean, come on. Chaining himself to a woman for the rest of his life just to get out of working.
Just to not have to work this week.
This was really funny. He said, I could join you guys. I'm like, dude, go freaking do the marriage thing. You know what? We're adults. We can talk about ghosts. We're good.
Yeah.
I think he felt like he was going to be missing out.
Fear of missing out. That's the problem. He doesn't know what we're talking about.
Well, you know, he does the true crime side. And a lot of that stuff is very serious, very crazy. Yeah. I think he enjoys, at least I hope he enjoys, the times we get together to do this stuff. Because he can kind of be himself and be goofy and laugh at stupid shit. And, you know, Lisa, we've got a joke that if we come up with the oddest item in the world. And a couple of weeks ago, I brought up the spleen of a jackal.
Okay.
He would probably be able to go, oh, I've got one of those over there. And then he'll go get it and bring it over to show us. Because he's got, like, he's kept everything from childhood, his years in radio.
So he's, it's like a Ripley's Believe It or Not, except it's Burski's Believe It or Not.
It is.
Yes. Yes, very much. And in the way his studio is set up, like, it's super cool. Studio space, but he's got like all those little things that he's kept over the years that mean something to him. And he'll be like, I have that. And then he'll get up and come back with it.
Like literally we were doing a ghost story. I think Carol, you were gone for this one. I don't remember, but it was back in October of last year. And we were talking about Halloween decorations. And I said, I remember my mom would use the cheap cardboard ones that had like a witch on it or a pumpkin or whatever. And you'd hang them in the windows.
And had the brads to help them move.
Right, right. Some of them had the brads so you could do this with the skeleton and stuff like that. And I said, my mom used them for so many years that they were pretty much white on one side because they had faded. And he goes, I have one of those. And he freaking walked over and he pulled out the, I think it was the skeleton one or something, but he had one of those in that freaking studio.
Yeah, I could just hear us talking about a Victorian woman ghost and I mentioned Victorian button hooks to button your shoes. I could see him doing that. I have a Victorian button hook.
No, that sounds like something you would have. Tony, I don't think would have the Victorian button.
I was just going to say, if Tony had that, I'd be very surprised.
Tony would have the spleen of a jackal, though.
Right. Yes,
a pretend one.
Yes.
Tony has the oddest collection of stuff.
I know. Last week or the week before, we were talking about we introed the story and was something about a nursing home. And all of a sudden he realized that when he was young, there was a gumball machine in the nursing home and he had that exact model he just remembered up in his house with the original gumball still in it.
And I'm like, put new ones in it. No, it'd be funnier if people actually put the money in and get one of those because it would be so bad.
But nobody has pennies anymore. So he's going to sell the pennies for $2 a piece just so they can get a rancid gumball out of it.
I worked at a radio station that had an M&M machine, like a gumball machine, that those M&Ms had been in there for years. And I once saw somebody eat some from it. So,
oh, that's horrible.
Was it you?
No, it was not me.
Okay, just wondering.
But it was somebody I didn't like. So I just sat there and went,
oh, watch this. They're going to eat the M&Ms.
He ate the M&Ms.
By the way,
you know, those been in there for like 20 years now that hasn't been touched.
And he was like, oh, that explains some things.
Because it's a radio station. Nobody's going to spend money for M&Ms if they can steal them somehow from somebody else's, you know, locker or from the kitchen area or whatever.
Yeah. No, because you're poor.
Right. Well, of course. Right.
You're working in radio. You're very poor.
Any radio station in the break room that had one of those little boxes with the coin slot in it and it said, you know, the honor system. Nobody ever paid for the fucking butter nutters or whatever the hell were in there.
Or the moon pies.
Right. Or the wafer crackers or whatever.
Wafer crackers that were in there.
And the whole thing lasted a month. And then the person who's buying them decides, I'm not going to do this anymore.
The general manager owner is like, somebody keeps taking, well, you don't pay us shit. That's why we have to steal some fucking food.
My favorite thing about when I used to work in radio is this. If you work, you know, you work in radio when one of two things, all of your clothes are old radio station T-shirts.
Yes.
Or you live off of the free hot dogs at radio station remotes.
Right.
It's like, we're having hot dogs today. Awesome.
You know, there's a remote. Are they going to have hot dogs? I'll do it. I'll work the remote.
I'm not going to buy groceries this week because I'm going to do the car remote with the hot dogs. I'll just put a couple in my bag and eat those throughout the week.
I mean, seriously.
And everyone thought we were all paid a living wage.
And you'll clean up your workspace as well as your neighbor's workspace for pizza day.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, too.
And clean up the radio station. They'd bring pizza. Because they ain't going to pay for a janitor or anything. So.
That's
Oh, my God. The good old days. Which is why I know how to bartend, and I still do it.
Which is why I know how to wait tables. Yeah. I don't still wait tables.
But I was a waitress for a very long time until they would go, aren't you Carol Hughes from
God, I hate
radio
that.
Station I never name? And then
loading up with food. And aren't you Lisa?
Yeah. And Lisa's got General Tso's chicken sauce running down her mouth.
Oh, my God. Oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this ghost story.
Some ghosts. Yes.
Let's talk about the ghosts. This is kind of an interesting story. Who was haunting who? Here you go.
Love your show. You guys are awesome. When I was a little girl, I had my parents added on a room onto the garage for me because I had two little sisters and one being born. So I was really excited to have my own room. I was probably like around the same age, between like 5 and 8 or something. And I was sleeping in the room and I woke up out of my sleep. I remember I woke up, I sat up, it was dark, and I heard this voice that sounded exactly like my dad's voice. Like it was my dad's voice. And he was even calling me like my childhood nickname. So it was like supposed to be my dad, but I was like, what the heck? Why would my dad be in my room? You know, like that's kind of weird. It just kept calling my nickname and being like kind of being nice, but calling to me basically. And I just was like confused and didn't really know what to do. And I was just kind of listening and sitting there and like looking for my dad. Like, is my dad somewhere, you know, weirdly in the darkness. And basically what happened is it got frustrated. It sounded like he got frustrated because I didn't know what to do with him. Like, what is this? I don't know. And then, okay, this is a bad word, but I won't say the whole word, but basically got really mad. And then it said to me, don't F with the devil. Like it literally said that to me, like 5 years old. And I freaked out, got out of bed. I was already awake, you know, got out of bed, ran to my parents' room. Like they were both there. My parents were still together. They were always there. Great parents. They were like, it's okay, babe. Just sleep here. It was fine. Seriously, like it was, you know, what's crazy is that was probably the first experience when I realized I was really sensitive. And pretty much my whole life, I'm almost 40, I like was trying to block that out, like block the aspects of like hearing stuff like that and knowing stuff like that. So it's just kind of crazy. I've recently been like, okay, like let me like be in touch with it, but like know what to do and have like tools to protect myself and everything like these past few years. So it's like all kind of crazy that would like come up, but that was literally like the root of it. My dad is like the best dad in the world, always really super good guy, you know, like really like devout, like Catholic, but like nice Catholic, like sweetest guy. Anybody in the world would like love him. So it was just like so weird to have that be like a demon or whatever. I don't know. But thank you so much for all you do. And that was amazing. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Well, full disclosure, I played the wrong phone call, but let's go ahead and talk about that one.
Don't.
I meant to play a different one, but.
Don't mess with the devil, or she said, don't fuck with the devil.
Why would the devil do that to a 5-year-old child? Like, and sounding like her dad. That's a really strange thing. Like, what as a demon do you have to get? Like, what's in it for you for terrifying a little kid?
But that's what they do, right? I mean, I don't know if there's a devil or not or anything like that. But anything that's trying to do evil stuff or scary stuff will use whatever they have means to do that if they really want to fuck with you. Just getting off on, you know, scaring a young child. And doing it in her father's voice is another level of fucked up. So it was just doing what it likes to do.
Well, and then as a kid, you just know what you hear. It's like, oh, dad.
Yeah.
And maybe, though, she's hearing a voice that as a 5-year-old, you have no way else to explain why you're hearing a man's voice. And so you just go, that must be dad.
Maybe. It's hard for me to remember what it was like at 5 years old.
Yeah,
so I don't remember exactly how we thought with that little tiny brain that we had at that age.
Somebody's going outside. Yeah.
Sorry. That's
I'm like, that isn't, I was like, that is not happening at my house.
That's my husband asking the dog if he wants to go outside.
I thought he was asking you.
I did too.
Lisa, you want to go outside?
You got to go potty?
He was asking Mojo if Mojo wanted to go potty. Not me.
Lisa, do you got to go potty, Lisa?
I do, but I'm fine right now. Thank you.
I thought you just went. Didn't we just take a break so you could TT?
Yes, okay. We did. But then in that time, I've drunk a whole one of these. So.
Well, it's nice that your husband comes to check on you to see if you have to potty. That's adorable.
It's the dog he's checking on. It ain't me.
No, I just think that's a really strange story. Like, why she would hear that. And at 5 years old, like, that's a word that like to this day, she's like, I'm getting ready to say a really bad word.
Right.
Like it traumatized her.
When you're 5 years old, that is the worst word in the world.
Oh, it is. Yes.
We just throw it around on this podcast like it's nothing.
I know. Like, whatever. Especially Tony.
And Todd.
Tony's the worst offender. But I don't know. I think that's interesting. But, you know, she said she's an empath, and maybe that's just she's kind of open to hearing things.
Ah, good point. Mm-hmm.
And her little 5-year-old brain heard that and thought, Dad. Mm-hmm. And because there's no other man in the house, that has to be Dad. And so that's how she heard it. I don't know. But she definitely can still tell to this day. She has not forgotten that.
We've heard plenty of stories, though, of people that have heard their mom in another room or whatever, and they're not even there, right? They're like, mm-hmm. they're like outside weeding the garden or something like that. So I think energies, if they want to play that game, certainly have the ability to pretend to be somebody else.
To mimic? Yes.
Mimic.
You think like yeah. mimicking voices? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very much. Well, let's go to the call I was hoping to play.
Okay. My name's Alex Morgan. My story happened in Long Beach, California, Southern California. It was in the late 90s. I was at my cousin's house with my cousin. My grandma also lived there. And our friend, you know, this is late 90s. We were on dial-up AOL internet. And we figured, you know, let's go ahead and find out if there's any haunted places in California. So we ended up searching, you know, haunted places. It was a real old website, and there was just a list of all these different places in California that were haunted. It was actually a really nice list. It had all the big things like Queen Mary down to like houses on particular streets. It was really, really interesting. And we ended up finding this one location. It said Rancho Los Cerritos. And we saw it was in Long Beach, and you know, we're at my cousin's house, and we're thinking, okay, let's find out where this is. We end up taking a look at this on a map and finding out it's a bike ride away from where we are, right across from the country club adjacent to his house. So, you know, we're all excited. My cousin, I, his friend, we get on our bikes. We're going to go pedal over to this place, Rancho Los Cerritos in Long Beach. And we're going there, you know, the whole time we're talking about the stories we saw online. You know, people were saying it was haunted by an old Spanish foreman. And that there was a lot of Native American deaths there due to illness. And so we're kind of psyching each other up the whole bike ride there. You know, it was pretty cool. It was like something out of the Goonies or something. It was kind of like an adventure. And so, we get there the whole time we're trying to tell stories and psych each other out. We hopped a wall, you know, the place was closed, probably super illegal. We're walking around the whole perimeter. My cousin's telling me stories about, you know, I guess he's been there before on a tour when it was opened and he saw a rocking chair move. You know, we don't know if obviously at that point, whether or not he's telling the truth or not, but we're just all, you know, joking around, you know, at a point we're just trying to scare each other because nothing's happening. A real cool old Spanish mission kind of style place. We're popping out, boo, you know, trying to spook each other. Well, eventually we're getting bored. We hop the gate, you know, to leave, and we just, for whatever reason, feel pulled over to the side of the rancho, and we're walking along this gravel path that separates it, kind of borders the country club, and it was sunset, and at that moment, you know, the whole atmosphere kind of changed, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the perfect time to spook my friends, because that's what we were doing the whole time, just joking around. You know, we didn't really believe in ghosts at the time. And so I picked up this rock, and I'm thinking, I'm going to chuck it into a bush over there and scare him. And right when I'm about to throw this rock over into the shrub, a rock of about similar size plopped down. I mean, it wasn't thrown from a trajectory. It literally plopped down from above my head and landed right in between me and my cousin and my friend. And it didn't skip. I mean, it literally hit the ground, fell, you know, came back up a couple inches and fell back down. And I'm thinking, what the heck? It was, you know, someone threw a rock. And I ended up telling that to my friends, you know, hey, guys, someone drew a rock. They turn around. They're like, yeah, right. You have a rock in your hand. At that point, another rock falls in literally the exact same location. I mean, if someone was off to the side throwing rocks, they would have had to catapult it directly up over our heads and have it fall straight down to land in the spot where it didn't skip at a trajectory. At that moment, I remember you get kind of like, I felt this drunken kind of dizzy sensation. Like you could tell reality was somewhat warping at that moment. There was just a total change in the atmosphere. You felt kind of like lightheaded almost, like anything could happen. And then the bush that I was just about to throw the original rock into to scare my friends, it starts swaying back and forth. The shrub is just like rhythmically, you know, a foot on each side, right to left. It's like almost as if the bush was slow dancing back and forth. And it wasn't the whole entire shrub. It was just like a 2x2 foot in the very center of the shrub that was kind of like rhythmically swaying. And at that point, I just was like, all right, let's get out of here. Let's go. And so we all went and jumped on our bikes, and you know, we're trying to pedal away. My friend Matt pedaled too hard, and he scooped the bike from out underneath him and just face planted into the gravel. We left him. We were too scared to go back. We're just like, Matt fell down. Let's keep going. So we went all the way back, you know, to my cousin's house. Eventually, when we caught up, we told this tale. We talked about what happened, and I've always wondered, you know, did it read my mind? Because it knew exactly at the moment when I was going to scare my friends. You know, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the foreman. Maybe it was, you know, a Native American spirit. Maybe it was, you know, a hobo in a bush trying to throw rocks and scare us. I don't think it was a hobo in a bush, because you could see through the bush. You know, the whole shrub was like well maintained. The person would have had to been crawled up in the very center. And it was like swaying in a very strange motion. It wasn't shaking. But that has always left an imprint on my mind. Later on in my life, I became a little bit more spiritual in that regard. And whenever I've had things happen out of the ordinary, I get kind of a similar dizzy sensation. But yeah, I wanted to go ahead and just tell you guys a story. You guys have a great show. Keep it up. So,
I tell you, tonight when I walk my dog, every bush I walk by, I'm going to be like, is there a hobo in that bush?
I was just going to say, too bad Tony's gone, because I think there would have been an RGSO performer's rendition of Hobo in a Bush.
Yeah, Hobo in a Bush, yep.
I did find this, though, because he started the story off talking about, oh, this is back in the 90s, blah, 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 AOL dial-up, right? And I was like...
Right?
Damn kids these days.
You didn't have to sit through all this, that boom, boom.
Oh my gosh.
This one's going on forever.
Yeah, this one's having trouble connecting.
You've got mail.
Yeah.
It's so funny because it was so life-changing at the time. And now you look at that and it's like, my God.
And
we had to sit through all of that just to get on the internet.
Not only that, but you had to, there were limited numbers that you could call. And if there were too many people on it at that time,
That's
you had true. To go to a different number and a different number. And oh my gosh. We're spoiled now.
Do you think though, was it just a weird coincidence, everything? Like he's going to throw a rock and then all of a sudden a rock drops in front of him. Was somebody messing with them? Was there a really great hobo in the bush who was able to manipulate all of this? Because it is kind of strange. And they took off on their bike so fast they left the one guy behind. It's like, save yourselves.
Every man for himself, Grandma. Yeah, you know, you could look at it so many ways. You could explain it away and just say, somebody was messing with you, throwing something, blah, blah, blah. But it's also possible that something really was going on, because I've heard of situations where maybe somebody had like pennies thrown at them or change, that kind of thing. So maybe it was a way for something to get his and their attention. I don't know.
Because, I mean, they were there for that reason.
Yeah.
Because they were looking for a haunted location and they got on their bikes and they found it. And then to me, that's the kind of story you really can't make up, because why would you make up a story of you're gonna throw the rock and pretend like it's an experience and a rock gets thrown at you and I think another rock and then the thing in the bushes happens. You would come up with a story about then we saw this apparition.
Right. They're the lady in the white dress, right? Or the shadow in the top hat or something like that.
The man with the hook as a hand.
Yeah.
Yes.
So to me, all of those things that he brought up, it seems like I don't know. I believe him.
I think he believes that something paranormal happened. Like, I truly do believe that he thinks that, you know, whether it was or not, it's tough to say because we're not there and we can't investigate it. But very interesting story.
I thought so, too. Let's hear one more.
All right.
OK.
Hey, how are you guys? Big fan of the show. And after listening to a bunch of people tell their story, I decided that I would get the courage to tell my story. This happened when I was around 7, maybe 8 years old, and it was my lesson on as to why you should never mess with shadow people. At the time, I was like seeing shadows, and you know, I was positive that it wasn't my imagination, because even when you're young, you can kind of tell the difference between when something is like a real shadow or when something is just like a literal mask. When I was little, I had been seeing these kind of shadows at the end of my bed, out of my corner of my eye. Like a dummy, I decided to start acknowledging them. I'd tell them, hello, how are you? Would you like to come in when I was coming in from playing outside and stuff like that? And the more I acknowledged them, the more that they started to appear as just these solid, dark masses. And then they didn't start appearing just at night. They started appearing throughout the daytime as well. One time I was coming home from school and I was just walking in the door, and we had a staircase right in the door, and I saw a dark shadow standing at the top of the stairs and then quickly darting down the hall. Walking up the stairs, I noticed that there were like scratch marks at the very staircase, which later my mother yelled at, blaming me, but I've always thought that it was whatever was standing there. Quite possibly the scariest thing ever. I kind of learned my lesson as to not talk with them. I think, however, the worst thing was when I think I saw a shadow person, like, reveal who they truly are, so to speak. I was walking upstairs from the basement, and I had turned off the light, and I felt a hissing noise behind me, and I could swear to this day that what I saw was a woman with, like, long, scraggly black hair, a very pale gray face, with her hand reaching out, and as soon as I turned around, she kind of looked up at me and started sinking back into the darkness really slowly. I didn't go down into the basement for months. I was scared out of my wits. And, you know, till this day, I still don't know what to think about it. Then long story short, I basically just stopped acknowledging these black shadows. And fortunately, after a while, they went away. I still see them from time to time. And I don't know if these are like entities that, because I acknowledge them, want my attention again, or if I've let these things kind of get attached to me. But fortunately, ever since I stopped like acknowledging them and talking to them, they have not bothered me as much. So that was my story. I hope you guys enjoyed. I would love to hear your feedback on it, because it still freaks me out to this day. And I'm 22 now. And thank you very much.
So he was a little kid when this started, right? It sounded like he was pretty little.
That's my understanding, yeah.
Yeah, and then he acts like, whoa, I really messed up by acknowledging them. But if you're really little, you wouldn't know any different.
Right.
You know, he must not have found them threatening at the time, else he wouldn't have been acknowledging them or talking to them. But I don't think by interacting with them, just because you're a little kid and you don't know any better, I don't think that's what causes his problems. Maybe he's sensitive and open to them.
See, I kind of feel like if it's kind of like relationships, right? If you acknowledge someone, there may be some sort of attraction there. And I'm just talking in general with human beings, right? If you're walking into the grocery store and you hold the door for somebody and you acknowledge that they're there, there's usually like a smile, a thank you, whatever. And if you run into them later in the store, they probably remember that, whatever. I do think when it comes to energies, if you're open enough to have an experience or you open that door, then I don't know if it's a change in yourself or a change in the energy that of the place that you're in, but I do believe it creates more things.
Okay. Even if you just accidentally little bitty kid. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes some sense.
I agree with Todd, because it's like when you're communicating with anybody, I mean, right now, if I were to be talking to you, Carol, and you would be looking at your phone or talking to your cat.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. You're completely ignoring me. I would eventually stop talking to you because Carol is not hearing me. She doesn't see us. Fine, whatever. And I would put my energy to something else. But if you, in a communication, if you're responding, then it's like, oh, they hear me. And it's more give and take. So I think the same can be said about energies, is that if we acknowledge that we have seen that or we have heard that, they did hear me. I can find a way to communicate with this one somehow, some way. Do you see what you
think?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I shouldn't be leaning in. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
No, that makes sense, though. But do you think, you know, by opening that door when he was a kid, can you shut it properly?
So I don't have that answer, but I will tell you that people who have opened that door and maybe have psychic abilities or empath abilities, I think that door is very hard to close again.
Mm-hmm.
I think you learn how to shut the door at times when you want to. But if something wants to come through, I think it has that ability.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't have that ability, because that would be a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
I got enough going on in my daily life. I don't need some random spirits coming through with messages for people. I'm like, you go talk to them. I don't have time.
I do think, though, Carol, because of your experience in the house you grew up with, that if there's something around you, it will try to reach out. Like you've said before, you don't think this house is haunted, but I think that if you were in a location, let's say one of the theaters you work with, blah, 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 I think that they would know. I think the energy would know that you've had experiences could communicate with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that feeling all the time. I can tell.
And I think energies do know and can feel when there is somebody who is open to that, who can feel or can receive it. They also will close down and will not try to communicate if there are other entities or other energies in the area that they just don't want to deal with.
I mean, it makes some sense. I don't know. That's interesting. So, alrighty then. Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. You can leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Wherever you're listening, just hit subscribe. We would appreciate that. And become a premium subscriber if you want. Advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials could be yours. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books.
time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.